Luke chapter 12. I told you this morning we'd be following up. This would kind of be a part two of sorts from this morning's message. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 49, Jesus had gone with his parents, if you recall, to the temple. And they went home, and he wasn't with them. A few days went by. Stay in Luke 12. Don't get lost. A few days went by, and they realized he was not in the company. Now, the reason that they didn't realize he was gone before then is because as they traveled in groups and a caravan of people, and they just expected him to be with part of the family to see that the train was leaving and get on. But he didn't. He stayed behind, and we know he had the conversation with the doctors and lawyers and the teachers, and they came back and found him, if you recall. And what was his response? No, you're not. I must be about my Father's business. That was his response. That was his answer. Why is it that you searched and wondered and cared or worried? No, you're not. I must be about my Father's business. That's our calling as Christians. That is our calling as a church, is to be about the Father's business, is to make sure that we are doing the spiritual work, not just the tangible stuff, but the spiritual work that God has called us to do. And we talked about this morning how Paul said to the Corinthians, we are ministers and stewards, and that people ought to see us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus speaking said, let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. Now, what does that mean? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter said it this way, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you. Now, first of all, for someone to ask us about our hope, what have they got to be able to tell? That we've got hope. There's got to be an appearance of hope in us. That's why it's one of the key elements of our mission statement, that hope is so important. We've got to have hope. A hopeful people is a different people. A defeated people is apparent. People can see the defeat. But when we have hope, when we have expectation, when we have faith, when we pray and we trust God, people can see that. And so what do? They ask us about that hope. And people need hope, don't they? People need hope. People are in crisis, not just because of the climate of the year, but because of the season as we approach elections. And people, their hope is fading for some of them. And let's face it, somebody's going to be disappointed. One way or the other, somebody's going to be disappointed. And so we've got to be prepared then at that time that we can give them hope, that we can show them hope. And people will be attracted to us by our hope. They will see that faith. They're attracted to Christ in us by our hope. And so he says we need to be ready. We need to be dressed. He says loins gird about. Now the reason that they would gird their loins is because they were getting ready to do what? What? Run? Somebody say run? I thought I heard somebody say run. Because they're getting ready to run, because you know you can walk in a dress. They wear those robes and they can walk around those skirts that they used to wear. And, that's what I always found funny about these preachers that preach against women wearing pants. They'll preach against women wearing pants, but at the time that it was written that men and women shouldn't dress alike, they all wore dresses and skirts. But anyway, I'm not angry at those preachers, but it just never made sense to me. But what happens is when you're wearing that skirt and you got to run, he says, pull that thing up, tie it around you so you can run, because otherwise it's going to hold you back. So what's he saying here? He says, let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. In other words, no matter if it's daytime or nighttime, we have to be ready to answer the call. We have to be ready to respond to the need. We have to be ready, as Peter said, to give an answer of the hope that when anybody asks us, we need to be ready to give an answer. So think of it in a mental regard that we need to be ready to answer it. So let me ask you tonight, why do you have hope? What is it that caused you to trust Christ? And why do you still believe in Christ? What keeps your faith light burning? What keeps that hope alive in you? Now, I'm not going to take everybody's answer, but it's an answer we've got to be ready to give. Because somebody's going to come along and say, why do you believe that? Why do you go? Why do you participate? Why are you part of it? Why haven't you given up? Why haven't you quit? Why haven't you bailed out yet? And there needs to be an answer. And now, that answer is not going to be, well, because I loved how cold it is on Sunday nights when I go to church. Little cool, isn't it? The answer's got to be a spiritual answer. The answer's got to be something that's burning within us. And so he says, be ready. Verse 36, ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open to him immediately. So he gives the picture of servants that are waiting at home, and the master of the house has gone to a wedding celebration, and they have everything prepared for when he returns home, so that when he returns home, he comes into a lighted room. He comes in to see everybody ready to receive him and to hear about the celebration. How many of us are ready for Jesus to come back? Now look, he's not coming back to sit on the earth. He's not coming back to rule from Jerusalem. He's coming back to take us home with him and take us to his home, isn't he? To our eternal home. And we look forward to that. But he says, how ready are we? How many of you ever had teenagers that stayed out late? So what do? You stay up till they get home. And they say, well, can I stay out till 11 o'clock? Okay. But our bedtime's 9 o'clock, right? We want to go to bed early, but we got to stay up till 11 o'clock, till they get home and keep the porch light on and keep the lights on in the house so that when they come in, number one, we know they're home on time, if they are. And number two, so that we know they're home safe, so that they have to see us. I can remember being a teenager and coming home and hoping mom and dad were asleep and hoping nobody saw us as we came in the house. And that, and there's many stories like that. I'm sure we go around the room and hear stories like that. But he says we need to be awake and we need to be ready for that coming of our Savior, the coming of Christ. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Yeah. Are we watching? Are we ready? Are we waiting? Or have we given up? You see, also in the scriptures, it says there's going to come a time when people say, why do you keep believing in this? Where is the promise of his coming? How many of us believe Jesus would have already come back by now? Well, we thought the way things were going, the rapture's got to occur. We were ready. We were ready. Well, we were poised and we were waiting and we were looking for the sky and it didn't part and we didn't go home. We didn't hear a trumpet. And so we gave up and we said, well, I guess he hadn't come. I guess he's not coming back. But he is. He is. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. And I know that every generation before us, all the way back to these writers, believed it would be in their day, and they were wrong. But that means we're that much closer. And I know it seems far-fetched. I get it. But the Bible promises. And so we look for his coming, and we await his coming, and we're awake for his coming. Spiritually awake. You can sleep tonight. Don't worry about that. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. In other words, when the Lord comes back and finds us watching, he's going to celebrate us. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That God would look at us and celebrate us? Why? Because we didn't give up on his promise. Because we kept our hope. We kept our faith. We knew he meant what he said. We knew he meant what he said and we believed him. And he's going to celebrate that. He's going to celebrate us. Verse 38, if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. Oh, it's going to be great. But I have a feeling he's going to come across some people that weren't ready. He's going to come across some Christians that weren't ready. He's going to come across some preachers that weren't ready. Because they said, well, you know, I've told you this, but I had a fellow tell me one time. He said, well, I believe the Lord's coming back in 1,000 years. 1,000 years? Where do you get that? I mean, I don't even know how to come across that idea. You look at where the world is today. And by the way, to give him a little bit of relief, it's been 10 years ago he said that. If he'd have said it now, I'd say, man, you're not paying attention. Things are moving at such a rapid pace. Everything in prophecy is being fulfilled. Man, look at all the historic agreements. You see that? Sudan, peace with Israel. Guys, we just keep going one more step, one more step, one more step. He said, don't worry when they tell you there's wars. He said, when they tell you there's peace, peace, boy, you better wake up. Everything's coming together. We're going to have one world order. We're going to have one world peace. I mean, one world religion. And you know that the Baptists got to get raptured out because they can't get along with anybody else. All right, that was a joke. Lighten up. But you know, I mean, that's true. And so, I know there's going to be others than Baptists get raptured, so it'll be okay. Look, we're going to get called out of here, and there's going to be a one world peace. There's going to be one world religion, all united, coexisting, just like has been promised. We're getting closer. But he said, if we're waiting and watching and we're expecting him and we're ready for him and our lights are burning and we're ready to go, oh, so blessed we're going to be. He says in verse 39, if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. When we get what? Distracted. Let me tell you something right now. There's a whole lot going on, isn't there? And it's got a lot of people's attention away from where it should be. Well, we talk about everything. Talk about medicine. Everybody's a medical expert. We talk about politics, and everybody's a political expert. Talk about the economy and the healthcare, and everybody knows, you know, I mean, we all know what we want, right? We're distracted. Wouldn't it be something if it wouldn't matter because he came back November 2nd? Wouldn't it be exciting if he came back tonight? I already voted, so I'm good. That's why you eat dessert first. He's coming back. He's coming back. We need to start putting dessert in front of all the other food at church picnics. Distractions. Look at verse 42, if you will. The Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? See, part one this morning. He said, let them so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And a steward must be found what? Faithful. And now Jesus explains that. He gives us the answer. He said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. So what does that mean? Well, what did he say? Well done, good and faithful. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Isn't that what he said? And so that's the words we're looking for. That's the hope when we get to heaven, that's what he's going to tell us. Well done. Now, how many of us can examine our lives right now and say, I believe well done is going to be the right thing? Now, I know we're supposed to be humble, and I know we're not supposed to have egos and pride, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an honest assessment. You know the Bible says, let a man so examine himself. Now, let me tell you something. We've got to look at ourselves and answer this question. Like we looked at last week when he told Belshazzar, he said, it's been weighed in the balances. Let me ask you a question. How are we going to do on judgment day? Are we going to hear the statement, well done, good and faithful servant? Who is that wise, faithful steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion? What is a portion? Now here, of course, we're talking about food. That's the analogy. That's the parable. But we're talking about a portion, the rewards. Blessed is that servant, verse 43, third time he says it. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Here's what I'm saying tonight. It's like what we said this morning about making a decision versus doing it. A lot of us have made decisions and not carried out, not carried through. We've got to actually be doing it. And if we'll stay busy in our walk with God, in our service to God, we won't be caught up in the distractions, and we won't have time to worry about if we're right with God. If we'll stay busy doing it. If we'll stay involved, if we'll stay engaged. And that means talking about our faith. That means sharing the gospel with others. That means encouraging others. That means praying for others. Answering the questions. He said, blessed is that servant when he shall find him so doing. Oh, he's going to reward our faithfulness. What is faithfulness? This morning it said a steward must be found faithful. Here he says, who is that wise and faithful steward? Faithful and wise steward. Who is it? The one that's showing an eagerness. The one that's expecting him to come back. The one who's working toward that return. I'm not working my way to heaven, but I'm working on my way to heaven. I'm not earning my way, but I'm going. Are we eager? Are we disciplined? Are we living according to the standards and principles of the Word of God? Or are we looking over our shoulder and say, Lord, look away for just a minute. Close your ears for just a minute. God, just ignore this for just a minute. Give me just a minute. I need to get in the flesh for a minute, and I need to sin for just a minute, but I'll be right back. No, that doesn't work that way. Discipline, eagerness, discipline, the principles, the standards of the Word of God, and finally, the activity, the evangelism, the outreach, spreading the good news, spreading the faith, sharing the faith. You say, well, Pastor, I've got this other calling I've got right now that keeps me from doing that. Then look, are you fulfilling your calling? Because sometimes God puts a burden on our lives, a calling on our life that keeps us from doing some of those things. It just does. But are we serving where God called us? Are we serving where God put us? Kind of hard to do some of these things. Well, I mean, it's not hard to be disciplined. It's not hard to stay in the Word. And it's not hard to be eager. But some of the things we consider Christian activity, sometimes that's brought down to one thing. But are we faithful in that? We must be faithful. He rewards our faithfulness. Verse 45. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Oh, you got the idea he's not coming back. You got the idea it's going to take a while. You got the idea everything's not exactly where it needs to be. And so what happens? So something happens in our hearts. What do? He says start mistreating people. Here he says beating the help. Beating the men servants and the maid servants. And eating and drinking. In other words, indulgence, just fulfilling our own desires, mistreating people, fulfilling our own desires, turning the attention to whatever we want. And it says he will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. There's that word portion that we saw up in verse number 42. What's he talking about? He's talking about rewards. What kind of rewards do you think an unbeliever is going to get in heaven? Well, he's not going to stay, is he? He's going to answer in judgment. He's going to be cast out for eternity. That word portion, we find that word throughout the Scripture. And so that means the rewards. And by the way, he talks about not losing that which we've gained. We can lose rewards. You say, well, I used to serve God, and I talk to people, I used to serve God. Hey, we can lose that stuff. We can lose those things. We got to be serving God now. Doesn't mean you have to serve Him in the same capacity, but as children of God, we got to stay faithful to God. We got to continue to serve Him somehow. His way, not our way. He says, that servant which knew his Lord's will, verse 47, and prepared not himself. Look at that phrase. What are you preparing yourself for his return? Are we ready for him to come back? I mean, getting our lives in order, to stand before our judge, to answer to him. Oh, he was ready, or he knew about it, but he didn't prepare himself. Neither did he do according to his will. He shall be beaten with many stripes. You say, now, what kind of message are you preaching tonight? Well, in other words, there's going to be consequences. There'll be consequences. It's a parable. How far do we take it? I don't believe God's got a whip in heaven. It's a parable. It doesn't say it's going to happen. But it's telling us there's going to be consequences. We talked this morning about just giving the look. How many of you ever got the look? Amen. We know what the look means, don't we? Can you imagine standing before God and rather than saying, well done, good and faithful, he looks at us and says, disappointed. I knew you could have done so much more. You could have been so effective. But you decided not to be. Wow. Wow. I don't want that. Well done. That's what I want to hear. Well done. Well done. I'm not saying I've earned it. Don't get me wrong. Paul said, not as though I've already attained, but I stretch forth, press toward the mark, stretching myself out. Like when you're running a race. You ever run a race? Been a while. And you stretch out right at the end, try to get your fingernails across it. Try to stretch out. Guys, we're in that race. Maybe in the final stretch. Maybe coming around that fourth turn. He said, we knew, but we didn't prepare ourselves. I don't want to be in that number. Verse 48. He says, he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. In other words, hey, if you didn't know, it won't be as severe. And here's the statement. We'll end with this statement. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. You know, I can see people that live in other countries not being able to accomplish what we could accomplish here. I can see people of less means to not be able to accomplish as much as we could accomplish. Of lots of different circumstances, I could look and say, well, you know, I believe God's going to give them a pass. But it's time for us, I mean each of us, not in here, but independently, to examine ourselves of what's been given to us and what's going to be required. We know what is expected. Are we doing that? Because it's a question only each of us must answer to God ourselves. Let's stand. God, examine our hearts and our lives right now. Search us and try us and see if there be anything in us that needs to be removed or needs to be changed, needs to be transformed. God, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our bodies, our attitudes, our willingness, our surrender, fix us, oh God. Because we do believe that day is near. We know the promise of your coming. And in that moment, we don't want to hear disappointment and failure. But God, we want to have made a difference. We want to be faithful, wise stewards with all that's been entrusted to us. Especially your word. Give us grace as we are dismissed tonight. Make us useful this week that we can truly make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.